Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Brian McKay and T. Davis.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah, you can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. Before we get started this morning, I want to have a quick PSA to everybody. Wear your seatbelts, people. Seatbelts save lives. Don't depend on the airbags, because I promise you, I think the airbags are just in your car just for show, because they do not come out when you need them the most. And I say this because my sister was in an automobile accident yesterday where an elderly man pulled out in front of her and had her airborne, you know, as she tried to swerve to miss the truck.
Okay, now hold on. Airborne.
Yeah.
We're doing too much. Go ahead.
No, she hit the side. It went airborne. Wound up landing, busting her tires, which was probably a good thing because that caused the car not to flip. She came out, you know, shaking and sore, but she's alive and well. And the other person is alive and well, and just a bad situation. It could have been avoided with just a little awareness, but, you know, sometimes it happens. But anyway, like I said, wear your seatbelts.
Well, I just want to say, while you want the airbag to come out, you really don't, because that would have broke her nose or something else and made it work. So,
that, yeah.
It probably happened that the airbag didn't come out.
Yeah, that's the other part of that. When I was telling them yesterday, I said it's probably a good thing the airbag did not deploy, because the airbag seemed to do more harm than good.
Yeah, she would have been busted up in the face. Yeah, so it's a good thing. Lord knows.
Yes. So, anyway, let's jump right into it. NBA. Go Memphis. Go Grizzlies.
Oh, Lord.
The Memphis Grizzlies are the last hope for my 95-96 Bulls to keep that record of 72-10. Well, really, they'd be sharing it at this point, because the Golden State is
right now.
Golden State Warriors are 72-10 on the season, 72-9 on the season, going for win 73. I will be sitting there like Mercury Morris on the Dolphins when he's sitting there with his champagne, ready to pop when the team in the NFL going for an undefeated season and loses. I will be sitting there ready if Memphis does it, but I don't have any faith in them doing it.
You need to save your money. Don't buy no champagne, because...
Oh, no, I'm buying that Welch's sparkling grape.
don't buy no sparkling juice, no apple cider, none of it. Them boys are gonna beat them, and it's gonna be a done deal.
Yeah,
and they gonna be sad while they're chasing this. They need to be worried about winning the championship.
And because Memphis just got through with a game this past night in Los Angeles with the Clippers, so I figure they'll be good and tired.
Yeah, and they got beat up in that 110-84. So that's a done deal.
So before it even happens, let me just say congratulations to the Golden State Warriors for winning their 73rd game and breaking the record. Moving on. Tonight also marks the very final game of one Kobe Bryant's career.
Praise the Lord. We are so happy that this is over. This has been a Travis Sham offery. I'm a Laker fan, but this has been a mess, and I don't even care for Kobe, as you probably heard on other podcasts. He a Laker, so that's why, you know, I cheer for him. But other than that, this, I don't like him been the Joker all this time. Now he out here smiling and beating his chest and waving and he losing. You ain't never been like that.
Making commercials. Making commercials with Michael B. Jordan and making fun of himself.
Like, go out like you started. Trying to win. Yeah, we weren't going to win no games. If that's the case, just sit on the bench and be a mentor to them other kids. This has been just terrible. And all I can hope for out of this season is that we get the 1, 2, or 3 pick. Because if not, this going to make it the worst season even worse.
You said something that made me bring up another point I was going to make today. Well, what kind of game do you expect him to have in this final? Do you expect him to go out gun blazing?
Oh, he's going to go all out. He won't have to play again. He going to go all out. He probably getting about 20 or something tonight. See, they rested him the other night because he ain't played but a few minutes and Byron Scott pulled him out.
Right.
Say, all right, we're going to save you for this last home game. He gonna go all in. Probably jack up by 30 shots.
I mean, the Jazz, who they're playing, I mean, Jazz are fighting for the 8th playoff spot against the Rockets right now, so it's not like they're gonna lay down for him. And they just got through destroying the Lakers in Utah not too long ago, back when all that telling on your teammate.
Foolishness.
Snapchatting.
But even if Utah win, will they get that spot or Houston? Is Houston playing tonight?
Houston has to lose. Houston controlling their destiny.
Okay. So either way, Kobe's still going all out. This is his last game. He don't have nothing to save it for. He can just, Byron Scott can let him play. As long as he keeps saying he want to be out there, it ain't like we waiting, resting, trying to get him through some more games. It's over. He already going to have a terrible body when it's all said and done because he's going to be all broke up. By the time he's 40, I'm not even giving him 42. He's going to be walking like he's 65, 70.
He's going to be walking like Bill Russell walk now.
Or Bill Walton, whichever one.
Yeah. One of them Bills.
All these injuries that he played through and all this stuff they talk about they do to get him ready for these games.
It's like that picture I sent you not too long ago with him on the sidelines, all got the tape bandages with the ice. Yeah, he just looked a mess over there.
Yeah, so his shoulder, his knees, his back. You know, he was playing with broken fingers and all. Yeah, he gonna regret some of that playing through injury.
Well, this has spurned a debate with all the media outlets, you know, ESPN being the main one the last couple of days. And I already know what you're going to say, but I want you to say it for the people. Do you think that Kobe Bryant is the best Laker ever?
No, Magic Johnson. Next question.
Yeah, that seems to be, and they even throw Kareem in there, but that seems to be, like, the biggest debate between him and Magic. It's him and Magic. I don't even think Kobe's in the top 3 or 4, in my opinion.
I tried to get him out of the top 10, but Larry wouldn't let me do it. Shout out to Larry.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to find a way, but I couldn't do it.
I think a lot of it is I just can't. His selfishness just drives me nuts. It has always bothered me. I mean, do you know they could have won about 10 championships at this point if him and Shaq would have been able to play together all those years?
Besides the selfishness, yes, I was upset with the whole Shaq situation. It's my team, it's your team, whatever. But as a person, yes, Magic Johnson, we know he's not perfect, nobody else. But if you look at what Magic brought, like, to the table, off the court, he was a good dude, on the court. Kobe pride himself on being called a butthole. He called himself that other. Like, that ain't no good look. Being mean and standoffish and telling people, oh, you can't even sit at my table. because you don't have a ring?
Right.
Really? Because at the end of the day, you got five rings and they don't. But what does that mean when you stand before God? The Lord ain't going to say, oh, well, you got these five rings, so I'm going to just ignore how evil and nasty you were to people.
Wow.
Yeah. In the grand scheme of things, it's not cute to be like, oh, I'm a butthole.
Right.
What is cute about that?
Well, before we take our first break, just to mention Shaq, since we mentioned Shaq, this Thursday night, people, the latest 30 for 30 will be coming out. This magic moment, which takes you through the ins and the outs, the good times and the lows of the Orlando Magic team that him and Penny Hardaway were a part of. Takes you right up to him leaving to go to L.A., tells the inside story. And I didn't know this. I was listening to his podcast yesterday. He signed the contract for L.A. when they were down at the 96 Olympics in Atlanta. Signed the contract at 3:30 in the morning with Jerry West and right outside of some house in Atlanta. And the next morning, I mean, nobody, the media obviously had gotten a word of it, but. And they all, like, bombarded Penny because Penny was on that team. And it literally, like, it blindsided him. He had no idea. And he happened to have Penny on his podcast yesterday, and they were talking about that. I thought that was interesting.
Well, yeah, we'll see. I'll watch it. I have to wait till it's on Netflix.
Yeah. Well, that's going to bring us to our first break. On the other side, we'll get into a little Empire. Tonight is Cookie's birthday party. But Before we get to that, we'll review last week's episode, and we'll also get into a little world news. But that's for the other side. This has been the Mac and T Show.
What time is it? What time is it?
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. Empire. This past week, season 2, episode 12, Arose by Any Other Name. I'm just going to kind of run down all the notes I took on the episode. Because I know T has not seen it. And there may be some of you.
Thanks, Fox, for having the thing cut so I can't see the movie.
And there may be some of you out there who's trying to run around and get ready for tonight's episode, trying to catch up. Have no fear, we are here. episode starts off with Hakeem introducing the new Empire logo, which used to be obviously a picture of Lucius's head looking up. Now it's a picture of Hakeem's flat top looking up at the sky, and that picture. Their logo's going to be outdated in about 5 years when flat tops go back out of style. But never mind. I don't know if it'll last that long anyway. let's see. Then you got Lucius getting his video ready. And his video for the Boom 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 song. He's wanting to use 1,000 extras in this video. And when I heard that, I said, Lord. This man is really out of touch with how the game is played nowadays. Has he ever heard of CGI? I mean, can we not save some money?
Let him use his extras. These people need a job.
Okay, I'm just saying. And Jamal and Becky, otherwise known as Precious, are cornered outside of Empire by an LGBT group. And, it's really cool, something that you didn't really see coming. This homosexual man walks up to him with some flip flops, wants him to sign them. So he goes to sign the flip flops, and Jamal's kind of like, okay, what's all this about? Then the little group all comes, they circle around him and Becky, and they do their own version of the drip drop song, but it's flip flop.
Oh, no.
And, basically because they say he's flip-flopping.
With that girl. Right. With Alicia Keys' character.
And that's what leads us to him and Jameson you know, the head of that LGBT, you know, group that's helping him try to win this ACE award. That's when Jameson tells Jamal that Lucius is the one that's out there bragging that you were with Skye, Alicia Keys' character. And, you know, that's when Jamal says, okay, well, you know, Lucius is doing that because he's trying to sabotage my ASA award because we're in the same category. We're going for the same award. So, you know, he's trying to sabotage it. And, you know, at this point, Jameson, I don't know exactly the history. We know there is some history between him and Lucius. But at this point, he should have known that's why Lucius was out there being dirty like that. So,
Lucius is here, man.
As in my next note, when Jamal goes to tell Cookie about all this, Cookie's exact words are, Jamal, your father's a tampon. We already knew that.
A mess. And these lines that he had us saying, I just be like, this is too much.
Then we flash over to Tiana getting ready for her world tour, which Camilla, Naomi Campbell's character, is trying to cut from the budget. Tiana obviously upset about this, thinking Hakeem is involved, because you know they used to be an item for a minute, at least for the cameras. You know, Tiana had her own thing going on, and so did Hakeem. But anyway,
which I'm still mad about, but go ahead.
Right, because it didn't make no sense. It really didn't.
No, whatsoever.
Anyway, so Cookie talks Camilla into letting the tour go ahead by sending Mirage Trois, that little three Latina girls, as the opening act, which in turn would send Laura, who is Hakeem's new love interest, the head singer of the group, away from Hakeem for a while. So you know how Camilla was feeling that. So then we flash over to that little, I don't even know what it's called. I know they talked about it in the first season, but the bar, the club that they always do.
Leviticus.
There you go, Leviticus. We flash over to that. Jamal's got a little song he's putting out, and where he basically puts Lucius on blast and lets the world know that Lucius Lyon is not even his real name.
And he ain't like his daddy.
Right. Yeah, so, side note before I continue with the notes. In the first season, they show him asleep as an orphan, looking up, and he sees the lion statue, and that's where the Lucius Lyon is supposedly come from.
Uh-huh.
I know the real story. That little boy wasn't sleeping under no lion statue. He was sleeping under the Lucius Lyon statue in Grand Rapids, Michigan, people. Grand Rapids, Michigan. Yes.
No.
On Main Street in Grand Rapids. Go up there. It's a Lucius Lyon statue. Lucius Lyon was a statesman back in the days of George Washington. So I just wanted to point that out. He was one of the ones that founded the state of Michigan and a couple of other states. Yes, I know the real story. Lee Daniels can't fool me. And I just happened, and T knows this, I just happened to walk up on that statue. I thought that was hilarious when I saw that.
You sent me that, I was like, really?
Let's see. Instead of retaliating, Lucius decides he's going to turn his video, the Boom 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 video, into basically how Dwight Walker becomes Lucius Lyon story. I think that's going to be somewhat of a big plot line going forward. It's going to open up the fact that his mother had bipolar disorder. That's going to cause a rift between him and Andre.
And why? He can't control that gene was passed to you if that's the case.
Well, I think just because Lucius... all this time is acting like Andre is just different. Don't know why Andre is so different. You know, trying to, you know, hide the fact that his mother was the same way. And, you know, all these reports of Andre leaving the show and not liking the direction. Andre, the gentleman that plays Andre trying to leave the show. If all those reports are true, then he's one hell of an actor because he is playing the mess out of his role. I mean, he's really doing it up.
Well, he said on his Twitter that that was untrue.
Right, I saw that.
So, I don't know.
But, so Andre and Ronda are going through couples counseling, grief counseling, because of the passing of their baby with his pastor. His pastor is very one-sided. Andre basically accuses Ronda of cheating. Comes out later that he's very paranoid.
He's been paranoid.
Right. Well, he goes to visit her on the job because she's now working under Empire, you know, kind of like being like a flunky for Camilla. But okay. It's really just a sabotage. She's part of a bigger plan. So when he goes to the job site, sees that she's not there, not in her office, you know, where were you, blah, 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 it's late at night, where were you? Turns out she was in Cookie's office snitching on Camilla, telling all the dirt that she learned that day. So she had an alibi. But no, the pastor is very one-sided, and this is what leads me to believe that either the pastor or Andre, in a bit of rage, a bit of bipolarness, is the one who pushed Ronda down the stairs.
First of all, please clarify this one-sidedness.
He was like, you know, going at Ronda, you know, saying if you're cheating, this is the time now to go ahead and confess that, and you know, everything Andre brought up.
I thought they was in counseling because they was lost the baby.
Exactly, that's what I thought too. But literally, it was him going at her about that. Then, you know, because here in the late episode before this, she basically tells Andre that there's no God. You know, God wouldn't let this happen.
Right. She was laying in the hospital bed.
Right. You know, so now, you know, so of course they make that a big issue. Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting to see where all that goes. Hakeem, meanwhile, is doing his part to plan, you know, to sabotage Camilla and her plans. He makes a sex tape, which he sends to Mimi, which is Camilla's girlfriend, the head of Empire at this point, which I don't know that the sex tape made her do this, but it comes out, and they've got to have more to this. If they don't, then I'm going to be upset, because it's kind of dry. It comes out that Mimi has dropped all of her stake in Empire, and that makes Andre try to find a way to buy that stake, and he eventually reluctantly uses his dead son's trust fund that he started to buy all those shares, you know, so that causes him to have a little fit when he gets off the phone. And to calm him down, Jamal and Hakeem perform a song they say they wrote for him, and I said, this
is kind of sad.
It's kind of sad and strange. I mean, this man is a grown man. I know he's got issues, but you didn't have to sing that grown man no lullaby.
That's what they do. They sing the stories to stuff they can't say.
So Cookie informs. Somehow it comes out that Camilla is going to trying off Mimi or whatever, or Mimi maybe, you know, trying to confront Camilla about this, you know, because of the whole sex tape and everything. Lucius tells Cookies, I think I want to see that. So he goes to these apartments where Camilla and Mimi are staying, walks in on Camilla cleaning up a crime scene where she has apparently poisoned Mimi. Mimi's dead in the tub.
Yes, just
So he's videoing all of this. And he's threatening to show her cleaning up the crime scene, and then there's a sex tape out there that's going to implicate her and Hakeem, because she says some things about wanting her wife to die in the sex tape, you know. So it's very Hulk Hogan esque. So.
But then Lucia told her to drink the stuff.
That's where the episode ends. He tells her, you know, you might as well just go ahead and off yourself. And he said, because I'm not going to shoot you. You're going to go to jail either way. And she supposedly takes the pills or whatever, the cyanide, you know, she takes a sip. But, this literally, the show ends with him walking out saying, "Rotten hell, bitch." And you don't ever see her die. So, don't know if she's dead. Who knows?
Well, where is Boo-Boo Kitty?
She didn't have no part in this episode, so we're going to see what...
Well, what about where is Vivica Fox and them? Because it was some secret that they talked about. I mean, I guess they still got time. It was a secret that they talked about, that something with Cookie and the other sister that left the babies with them. Tasha Smith character.
Yeah, I guess they hadn't gotten up to the point to putting that in there yet. Because Tasha is still around. Tasha's character is Cookie's assistant had a little small scene where they were arguing over who was going to tell Cookie some information about some hotel rooms. You know, it was a funny little scene because they're just two funny actresses. But, it's going to be interesting how Cookie's birthday party goes down tonight. let's take another quick break, and on the other side, we'll get into the Mississippi House Bill 1523. Just got everyone in an uproar. So we'll get into that on the other side. This has been the Mac and T Show. Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. Mississippi House Bill 1523 that Governor Phil Bryant signed into law last week. There's a lot of other wording in it. But the part that's got people so in an uproar is the part where the businesses in the state can have the right to refuse service to anyone of their choosing. You know, whether they want to choose to refuse services to, you know, a gay couple, you know, what have you. There's efforts being made to repeal it. There's movies that were slated to be filmed in the state to being canceled left and right. Bryan Adams, famous singer, has pulled out of his concert at the annual Mississippi Gulf Coast Crawfish Festival. And there are actually supposed to be more acts that are expected to follow him, and all because of this bill. What do you see as the long-term effect? Will this bill even last much longer?
He already done made it a law. What they gonna do? It ain't a bill no more. He just signed it to make it a law.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's a big deal. I mean, private companies, if you had a private business, you could pretty much... You couldn't, I guess, necessarily refuse service. I mean, I guess you can refuse service to anybody.
I don't know.
Read the bill and they talk about you don't have to hire people and that kind of stuff. But honestly, people do. Like, I wouldn't want to work for no company that's got something against me. Like, I don't even know what the big deal is. Like, I would want to know that. Like, if you don't like black people, I would want to know that before I want to, one, go work with you, or two, or buy anything from your establishment.
Right.
So I don't even know why it's a big deal.
Well, it is my thing. Like, I don't agree with it, but at the same time, the way you heard it is stop going to those. I mean, don't go eat at those restaurants.
And that's it.
I mean, clearly he did this for the business owners, honestly. I mean, he did it for the business owners who are giving him, you know, he's obviously the state's making money off of that. They want to be able to call the shots without actually saying, yeah, we're the ones that asked Governor Bryant for this. You know, he's going to be the fall guy. But, hey, it's their money that they put into owning that business, so they can do whatever they want to do with their business. But I don't have to eat there.
Right. And so why is it a big deal? You shouldn't want, like, and it's, not that this started over the people that was crying because the people said they weren't going to make the cake for the gay couple.
Right.
And I'm sure some other incidents have occurred.
Mm.
But really, people, do you want them to make the cake for you? if they don't like you. They could have spit in it. They could have did anything to the cake. Because people, I mean, we've seen these movies, and movies are not that far from reality. People do treacherous stuff when they don't like people.
Right.
So why would you want them to make a cake for you?
And there's I'm sure there's plenty of other people that make cakes that will do it for you just fine, have no problem with you living the way
right.
you live.
And so you blowing up and getting all up in arms, and maybe because I'm black and that's been our experience for a while, like, and it's because our color and ain't nothing that we can do about it, that, you know, if people treat you crazy, people follow you around stores, that I'm like, whatever, you should want to know this, like, you don't want to serve black people, I would rather you tell me that so I don't give you money to your establishment.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you know up front, then okay. You won't get none of my, you know, ain't gonna get none of my money.
It's other people that are not a part of the LGBT. Me personally, if I know that you don't want to serve them, I know you don't like blacks either, so I'm not gonna go into your establishment either.
Yeah, because if you're a bigot one way, you're a bigot always,
right.
You know.
And so, but my main issue with the bill law now is, where will it stop? So next, it'll be like, oh, well, we're going to have to find a way that we don't want to serve Muslims. Because I heard some story about somebody, you know, what's the head garment rep called? It's got a name.
I don't know it.
Somebody was, they asked them to take theirs off. And I was like, when did this before, like, I mean, I guess if you're trying to get in the board, I need to see your full face.
Right.
You know, like if I'm at the, you know, airport or somewhere where I need to see your identity, that's one thing. But if I'm just in the street, I shouldn't have to take that off. And this person was asked to take theirs off. But again, where will it stop? So next, when we move to, Muslim are terrorists, so we're not going to serve any Muslims. Or we won't let them get any kind of bank accounts. Because you have to do so much to get a bank account. And on the little sign at the one bank I was in, I won't call no names, it was like, they have to do whatever because of terrorism and all this, that, and the other. And I understand that. They can't just be given, or they don't want to give accounts to anybody. And you might be, like, a terrorist or something. But when does this stop?
Yeah.
Like I said, when 9/11 happened, and all this stuff, and it's really not much about this religious thing, but how much of our freedoms are we going to allow the government to take in the name of safety? Like, I don't feel like I should be treated like a criminal when I'm in the airport. Like, I hate going to Memphis Airport in particular, having to take off. Now, first of all, taking off my shoes and then standing with my arms out and my arms stretched out like I'm being frisked in that machine. Like, how much of my religious freedom, my religious freedom, how much of my freedom are you going to take in the name of safety?
And they say that they do, like, random checks. It's supposed to be really random. They are not random. I'm here to tell you, and I'm not saying this for anyone to feel sorry for me, but I know that I look a little different. And literally, I know that I'm being stereotyped against when I go through things. Because I get random searched or random pat-downs every time.
Every time.
Every time.
So, again, you know, NSA out, they probably listen to our podcast, and we ain't talking about nothing, they're moving on. You know, we on the phone all the time, and I tell you, you know, this ain't a secure line.
Right. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
And they'll say that they doing it because they trying to, you know, listen for terrorist activity and this, that, and the other. Well, then why are all these attacks still happening if this y'all doing all this in the name of my safety?
Right. You think they'd be on top of
them? People didn't talk about, oh, this, that, and the field when they decided they wanted to go up and shoot up somewhere and all that.
I don't know.
People post everything on Twitter and Facebook and all that now. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, that's just some foolishness. And LGBTQ, I can't tell you how to feel.
LGBTQ.
And, yeah, all the letters. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be funny.
No, I don't.
LGBT, whatever it is. you should just be happy to know that people don't want you there, and so you shouldn't want to be there.
Right, go to somewhere that they will take you, because there's plenty of those places.
It's plenty of people that don't care about your sexuality, and they'll be like, yes, we will serve you and treat you like any other customer. Yes, we will hire you. Yes, you can adopt. Because they had everything in there. They had employment, about adoption. It was so much stuff in there. I was like, this is, like, they don't cover every base that they could and tried to cover every potential loophole.
And just made it, I mean, and literally, I was in Michigan at the time that the bill was passed. I was afraid to tell people where I was from, because it's made the state of Mississippi. I mean, I had people look at me crazy that day when they'd ask. And I was like,
and yeah. That's the bad part for the state. Because now my diploma is totally torn to shit. Because when I tell you I got a degree from the University of Mississippi, Yeah. To make it go,
Yeah, wonderful.
So it just makes the state look bad, and the state already has the blemish, and then it already had, like, this whole Confederate month. It's like, really,
Whoa. I don't know what you were doing just there, but...
What happened?
I don't know, whatever you was wiping across there, making all kind of noise.
Oh, yeah, there's dust on this computer that somebody refuses to wipe off. And I always spray it down when I use it. But anyway, yeah, Confederate History Month, that ain't no good look, because that ain't nothing about the Confederates wanted to fight against the system because they wanted to keep slaves.
It just, so I mean, why the, Miss, need the state of Mississippi, the state of Mississippi is continuing to go backwards when everybody else is going forwards.
Still the only state that has the Confederate flag in its state flag, as far as I know, and the rest of them took their down or changed nails.
Yeah.
Like, come on, get it together, Mississippi. You better than that. Maybe not.
We shall see. But I think that's going to be a wrap on our show today. Oh, I'm sorry. What
happened to Will Smith? We had to give a quick
story. Oh, goodness gracious. Yes, Will Smith. In football news, well, I guess it's football related. I don't even think he was on the team, honestly, at this point. I think he got cut.
It's just world news.
World news.
He happened to be an athlete, so it wound up being an ESPN and all them.
New Orleans Saints defensive end Will Smith was shot and killed over the weekend. A lot of reports coming out. T has seen the video, so I'll defer to this on her. She can kind of tell you what the video shows.
So, initially, when this story breaks, it's like, okay, Hummer with a regular guy, yes, he played football in some little minor league, so we're not going to call him a football player. No offense, minor league football players. But, regular guy in a Hummer hits Mercedes SUV with Will Smith, All-Pro defensive end for the Saints. He was on the championship, Super Bowl champion team, Duck, quack. So, they really don't tell, like, what happened, but, you know, he gets out of the car, goes back in his car, and the guy shoots, and then he's shot, and his wife gets shot in the leg. So then it's just like, oh, this is so terrible, you know, this guy just done shot this player, and it's some guy from the Saints was like, oh, we love our athletes here, and this is bad, and he was a good guy, and well respected in the community, and all this other stuff. So last night, or yesterday, it comes out. The video comes out. None of this would have happened, in my humble opinion, if Will Smith, who hit this guy's car first, you see the SUV Mercedes bump into the Hummer from a restaurant camera. Bumps into the Hummer. So the Hummer kind of just sits there, and then it pulls off to the side like, you know, okay, let's get out of traffic. And, you know, I'm going to call the police. You thinking this, usually the other car will pull over too, and right, we're going to exchange insurance information or whatever. No, when the Hummer pulls over, the SUV Mercedes just drives around and speeds on. And so then the Hummer takes it upon himself to follow the guy. Now, I don't know why, but he probably say I was following him to get his license plate or whatever. But some kind of way, now the Hummer winds up hitting the SUV. And that's when the story takes, like, that was the beginning of the story.
Right.
Now, is there no reason for people to be shooting? I don't know what words were said, because I feel like I read or heard somebody say that the guy that shot the man was like, fear him, the other guy was getting a gun. So I was like, okay, well, before this came out late yesterday evening that the guy actually had a gun in his car, I was like, well, if he had a gun in his car, we'll find that out, because, like,
right.
She went to the hospital, he dead, so ain't nobody there to try to get no guns out of the car, and so nothing happened. So, yep, sure enough, he had a fully loaded gun in his vehicle, and so, you know, it's sad. Me and my sister talking about gun laws, I was like, that's just, it is what it is with these guns, and it's just sad that it came to this. But again, if he hadn't hit this man's car and just drove off, I think none of this would have happened. I think it would have been settled amicably. I feel like maybe alcohol or something was involved, because the attorney for the other guy kept saying they'll wait till the toxicology report. So maybe the guy didn't want to get a DUI, but at the end of the day, obviously you can't go back now, you're dead, but the DUI would have been better than you losing your life and getting your wife shot in the leg. And I don't know if he got any kids, but now your kids don't have no...
I think four kids.
Daddy. The guy that shot the man, his five-year-old daddy, you know, now his five-year-old daddy in jail. And this just ain't no good story for nobody.
Yeah, no. I mean, and clearly there's more to it, because the guy that did the shooting actually was the one that called the police and stayed there until the police arrived. So
yeah, because if he knew he was in trouble and he was a thug or whatever, they tried to act like, they didn't necessarily label him, but
right.
they showed a picture of him, his mugshot. They had plenty of pictures, but they always go to the picture of you when you getting going through the process of jail. Mm-hmm. They could have showed another picture of him.
Right. Will Smith like a hero in the New Orleans area, so, you know, they were all trying to play that up.
Well, don't play the hero up who dragged his wife out of a club or a bar or something by her hair. Look, I mean, come on now. He wasn't the best guy ever.
He won them a Super Bowl.
Well, and then that's a problem. We can talk about that on our next podcast. Mm-hmm. Athlete and the standard that they held to, and how, you know, you let them get away with so much, and then when they just wild out, it starts to be a problem.
Right. Well,
yeah.
Well, ST comes down from the box. We'll wrap this show up by saying, as always, I'm one of your co-hosts, Brian McKay, and I am with.
T, it is great to be a Florida Gator, Davis.
You notice I quit doing this at the beginning of the podcast, because I'm tired of hearing it twice in one podcast. So I just do it.
You can be something else.
And this has been the Mac and T Show podcast. Y'all watch Cookie's birthday tonight. Thanks for listening.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T Davis. Yeah, you can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.